Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This morning we start a new sermon series on Psalm 23. We'll look at each verse of this wonderful psalm of encouragement to see how it can help us during the toughest times of life. The first verse starts out with, "The Lord is my shepherd." David doesn't say a shepherd or the best shepherd. He says he is my shepherd. He was one of his sheep. And because of that, there is nothing else I need because my shepherd provides me with everything that I need. And there's nothing else that I want because I am part of his flock. May God bless and keep you this week. May you feel his peace and presence in your life. And thank you for listening.
Hovered over the waters, who at Jesus' baptism descended in the form of a dove, who at Pentecost was poured out under the signs of fire and wind. Come to us, open our hearts and minds, so that we may hear the life-giving word and be renewed by your power in the unity of the Father and the Son, now and forever. Amen. Let's remain standing as we sing hymn number 243, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Senior choir, in their first appearance since last spring, sings Back to the Church in the Wildwood.
Oh,
reads our morning scriptures, followed by guest minister Mike Williams' sermon, You Are My Son, the Beloved.
Please join me in the prayer of illumination. Eternal God, in the reading of the scripture, may your word be heard. In the meditations of our hearts, may your word be known. In the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Here ends the Old Testament. The New Testament is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, and you I am well pleased."
Like I said, it's good to see everybody again. And I am very excited, of course, to share in baptism and communion. But there was another, let's call it sacrament, that happened yesterday. There was a football game, maybe you heard of, that there was, there's this place west of here called Kansas that apparently we don't like at all. And yesterday, Lily and I were at a tailgate in Columbia, and Lily has the fortune and misfortune to work for a boss at Mizzou who graduated from KU. So talk about divided loyalties. And at the tailgate party that we were at, kind of half the crew was in blue, half the crew was in black and gold, and there was a little mingling, but, you know, at it was, of course, all the ferocity that you'd expect. At one point, the Jayhawk ended up in a tiger cage. But what was fun about the experience was the stories that were told. Because Lily's boss, he grew up in Kansas, went to KU, and all of his elementary and high school best friends were at this party. So there were like 8 or 9 people who had known him from like this tall. And the stories that they shared about growing up watching KU football, growing up watching this big game, going to Arrowhead in Kansas City, and then the similar stories from the other side, from the Mizzou folks who, like, oh, I remember this game. I was at such and such game in 1973, and this thing happened, and I was at such and such game in 1977, and this other thing happened, and do you remember so-and-so went with us? Do you remember all these stories? And what was fun was the people who shared Mizzou stories didn't all physically know each other. A lot of the KU people didn't fully know each other. There was that crowd of Lily's boss's friends, but then there were other random people who had been to KU a generation later. Or there were people who were at Mizzou now who felt a loyalty and a tie back to people who graduated in 1978 from Mizzou. Not because they actually had anything directly in common, but they told the same stories. They knew some of the same people. They had seen the same running back. They had seen the same quarterback. They knew this place on campus. They knew that place on campus. And it was the stories that brought them together. The same thing happens to us on maybe a less angry version. When we talk about our faith, in the psalm that we began today's worship with, Psalm 78, we tell the stories, the people of God tell the stories of what it meant to follow God and look back on what God has done for the people, brought them out of slavery in Egypt, brought them through the wilderness, brought them into the land of Israel, gave them a king, did this, did that for them. And it was tell these stories. If you look at verses 6 and 7, tell the stories to your children and your grandchildren so that they might know who God is and what God has done. That's what we do when we read Scripture. We tell the stories of what God has done. We tell the stories of what God has done in the lives of God's people all the way back. And when we get together in worship, we tell the stories of what God continues to do. In fact, in a few minutes when we join in our time of prayer, I'm going to actually ask the question, what has God done in your life this week? And hopefully you'll be able to say some things. And when I was out at Salem today, I got to hear stories of, did you know I was baptized in the creek at this revival? And there were all of these cars, because the revival was at night, so everybody drove their cars down to the creek, and the headlights were shining on the creek, and I was baptized down there. And there were other stories. There was a story of somebody in my congregation in Columbia who actually grew up at Salem. I don't know Salem except through her. The people in Salem don't know me except through her. And so what happens is our stories bind us together in real and powerful ways. So if I ask you to tell me about your family, I'm sure there is some stories that you and your siblings and your cousins know about Grandma. Did you know Grandpa used to do this weird thing? And then when you get together for a family reunion, you tell stories about Grandma and Grandpa and Uncle so-and-so and Aunt so-and-so, and that those stories bind you together. You ever had those experiences? What happens in the church is our stories of what God has done bringing us together brings us into a new relationship. Remember those KU people and those Mizzou people who didn't actually know each other, but through the shared loyalties that they had, suddenly came together for a couple of hours at a tailgate party? How many people were actually baptized here at California UCC? Okay, all right. For all of you who were baptized here, thank you for your welcome. How many of us were not baptized at California UCC? Okay. How many of you were baptized at another church in California? Okay. How many of you were baptized at a church not in California? Okay. How many of you were baptized in a state that wasn't Missouri? Okay. Did you see all those hands? Those hands are people who are not from here, but they are family anyway. And if you were to go to those places where they are from, in my case, Fort Calhoun, Nebraska is where I was baptized. Little tiny town just north of Omaha. About 600 people. 601 when I was born. That little church, that little town, you are connected by the story of what God has done in Jesus Christ, bringing love into that little tiny church that none of you have ever heard of and will probably never hear of again unless you happen to be driving through Omaha. The little churches that you're from or the big churches you're from that are here or not here, all of those places are stories that share in or are places of groups of people who share in the story of what God's love does through Jesus Christ. And in that story, we are family. We may not know Aunt so-and-so, but we certainly know Jesus. We may not know Uncle so-and-so, but we know somebody like that in our church. If you look around, for those of you who are not originally from California UCC, you look back at the consistory back there. Whatever church you were from, there were people who did that job. You look up there in the sound booth. Whatever church you were from, if there was microphones somewhere in that building, there was somebody who did that job. There were organists or pianists or guitar players. There was a choir or a small group. There was a something. There were people who served those functions, who shared in those stories. And now, as we come together in California, we are united, not just because we all happen to grow up. Some of us did. Some of you did. And for that, we thank you for your hospitality, welcoming us in. For the rest of us who just showed up at some point along the way, we are united because we are family. We're united because we are shared in this baptism. And in a few minutes, we're actually going to welcome in two more people into the family. We're going to welcome Bobby, and we're going to welcome Callan. And we're going to welcome them not as strangers, but as people who were born into this faith through the gift of love that we have inherited. Time and time again throughout Scripture, you see so-and-so was baptized, them and their whole household. You see, they were baptized, their family mattered, because in baptism, it's not just me and Jesus. It's all of us together because we are, and you've probably heard this before, but sometimes it's moments like this that really bring it home. We are the body of, have you heard that before? Okay. I made the kids do just a little demonstration of it. The kids, each one of their hands was involved in the filling of this font. Each one of them was involved in what we're about to do. That was just a small image because their hands aren't that big. But there's a whole lot of us here. And what's going to happen in a few minutes when we welcome Bobby and Callan forward is you guys are going to make a promise. Your hands are going to be in this. Your hands are going to be part of their lives because you are going to be a part of their story. Think back. How many of you had a Sunday school teacher or youth group leader who was maybe your introduction to the gospel? Did you ever have somebody who kind of taught you the faith? Maybe it was an elder in your church. Maybe it was a grandparent. Was there somebody who first introduced you to Jesus? That person is part of your story. When we baptize Bobby and Callan here, you are taking on the responsibility to potentially be that person for them. You are taking on the responsibility to say, we want you to be part of our life together. And that is important because I don't know if you've noticed, but life is a little crazy. Life is a little rough. And you notice in the text we heard from Isaiah a few minutes ago. Sorry. I'm going to put a little sign there. But you remember in the text that we heard from Isaiah a few minutes ago. You're going to walk through the water. It will come over your heads. You're going to walk through fire. You're going to have challenges in your life. But what will happen? God will walk through that with us. And as much as I didn't have to say this to Sarah and Corey, things are not going to be perfect for Bobby and Callan as they grow up. It's just not. Things are going to be challenging. The rest of us, has life ever been perfect and easy for you? Maybe about 5 minutes at a time. And then something happens. And then in those moments, you need somebody to walk beside you. In the prophet Isaiah, it is the promise of God that God will walk through. The prophet was speaking to people who were going into exile, people who were experiencing the destruction of their society, the destruction of their economy, destruction of their political world around them. Everything was falling apart. And the prophet said, don't worry, do not fear. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's hard. It's hard not to fear. It's hard to look at the news every day. It's hard to look at my bank book. It's hard to look at the world around me and not be afraid. But what happens in those moments is the words of Isaiah, the stories of faith of those who have gone before, can encourage me in those moments of deep darkness and despair. Let me tell you what this looks like in a congregation in my grandparents' church. So, it's two kids. Mom and dad were killed by a drunk driver. An aunt and an uncle took the kids in, but the congregation together decided that we are family. These kids are a part of who we are. They took up a collection and paid for college. They were together able to care for, in a very real and tangible way, these two kids who had just lost their parents. Why? Because they're family. Lord willing, nothing like that's going to happen to Sarah and Cody. Like, that's just, we're not hoping that. But there will be moments where you, as individual members of the body of Christ, get to come alongside them, lift them up. It might be, dude, you have had a really long day. Let me do some babysitting tonight, and you guys go have a date night. It might be for not them. It might be for the person sitting next to you in the pew who needs somebody to encourage them because they just lost a job. It might be the person sitting behind you who needs some encouragement because they just lost a member of their family. It could be the person sitting in front of you who's now trying to figure out, okay, what's our church going to look like when we go through this pastoral leadership change? I don't know what that's going to look like for you. I wish I could tell you that it's going to be easy. I wish I could tell you any of that, but I can't. What I can tell you is the promise, the story of the people of God who have said, no matter what you go through, you will not go through it by yourselves. As you go through the waters, the fire, the wind, everything that you face, I will be with you. And the important piece of this story is that as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice said, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Friends, I know that in the life of this congregation, in the life of Salem, things are about to change. And I don't know what that's going to look like. But I want you to hear once more these words from Jesus. Or actually, once more from the Holy Spirit. You are my Son, my children, the Beloved, and with you I am well pleased. No matter what happens as you guys go forward, the same promise that we're about to make to Callan and Bobby, I'm going to offer to you. You are loved. You are the beloved children of God. Amazing things have happened in this place with these people. I have heard the stories. I have heard the stories of what God has done and continues to do. and I have no doubt that God will continue to walk with you. But here's the thing. In the same way that all of us together are going to baptize Bobby and Callan, all of you together are going to need to work together, support each other, and be together the body of Christ. I don't know what that's going to look like. I'm not going to pretend to know. But what I can tell you is that the same promise that we're going to make for Bobby and Callan is true for you. This church is full of beloved children of God, people who are loved in a way that you can't even begin to understand. And no matter how high the water gets, no matter how hard the wind blows, no matter how much any of that changes, the one thing that will not change is that Jesus Christ is in that water with us, and that Jesus Christ comes up out of that water and says, "You, us, Bobby, Callan, and everyone who calls upon the name Jesus are beloved children of God." And secure in that knowledge, let us go forward into whatever the future that Christ might bring for us. Amen. We're going to respond to the hearing of God's word by singing, "Take My Life and Let It Be."